So I'm using the voice recorder that's on my phone right now. So I asked my editor, like, what kind of story do you want me to, what kind of angle do you want me to go at for this? Because, you know, I definitely want to know just kind of what she does and everything and why she does it. And he was like, we can totally do that kind of an angle and do it more about her and what she wants to do for people and why she got into it versus too much on the business side, you know? Like, I want to know kind of about the business side, but I'm doing this a little more from a personal angle.
I would prefer that, yeah. Because sometimes, you know, in any industry, when you give an interview, you're pretty much at the mercy of the reporter and the editor. And that's just the way that it goes.
Yes, but I'm probably the best person to write this because I am more open-minded and more spiritually driven than some other reporters that I know. So I'm super excited about this one.
Okay.
So since we're recording and everything, we can just talk and have a conversation, and I like it better that way. But I brought my laptop just in case that fails.
It will not fail.
So what I was looking online just to kind of get some research, you know, some background information, probably give me some questions to ask. And I noticed that you do business motivational or business kind of medium interaction, and then you also do things for people personally. Can you describe kind of what those two different things are and how you help people?
So
I'm going to push this as close to you as possible.
I'm an evidential medium and I'm an intuitive. So those are two different skill sets. So with the evidential mediumship, what I do is I bring through people's loved ones who have crossed over, and we bring through validation about who we're speaking to so that you know that it's your mom, your brother, your friend, whoever, before I deliver a message. Now with the intuitive style work, that's a whole different ballgame of senses that I'm tuning into. So with the business consulting, I have clients who are CEOs, owners of different businesses that have me on a retainer.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that's once a month, twice a month, once a week, whatever works for their business. And I call them at the appropriate time, and we talk about issues that are coming up in their business. Particularly, I like to joke around and call me, I'm the psychic HR. Because sometimes they have personality conflicts that they can't figure out what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tune in energetically to see what the dynamic is that maybe they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
I also go with a lot of helping them out with price pointing items or tuning into their competition. What's their competition up to? Do they have to rearrange their marketing or place another ad somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
And so I help business owners to achieve their goals in a way that's ethical, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to, you know, give a business owner a way to crush his competition.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, no, not total domination or anything.
No, I'm here for
more like peaceful coexistence.
Peaceful coexistence to help them.
Definitely.
And business owners that come to me generally are all right with this, my profession to begin with. So they're already very open to receive, and they're very open for alternative perspective of what's going on.
It makes it so much easier
because if it's not, it's the energy's just not going to click.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, one side of my business that I do. And then the other side is that I do see like clients one-on-one that either need a mediumistic reading, maybe they need some intuitive work, maybe they need some spiritual guidance in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tune in to see what's going on with each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And usually before they sit down with me, I can get a feel about what they might need.
Mm-hmm.
But I always ask the client, because I think that they might need to talk to somebody on the other side. but they might not be ready to do that.
And how, I know that you said a lot of it is intuitive as well. Is that a lot like empathy, where you can walk into a room and if someone is in severe pain, you can feel that physically through them?
Yes, that
using your intuition to know a little bit more about what people are probably going through, or
So with your intuition or your psychic abilities, just like we have five physical senses, we can smell, we can hear, we can see, we can touch, we can taste.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with your intuitive abilities that I see with my clairvoyance. So I have what I refer to as like my psychic movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear spirit. I can hear guides. I can hear the unspoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And what you were talking about is called clairsentience, where you have that deep empathy for a person. You can feel their pain, their sadness. You know, you can walk into a building or even buy a building and go, whoa, I don't know exactly what happened in there, but it's got an element of deep sadness or whatever it may be. So I use my non-physical five senses, as I like to call it, to tune into, to spirit like that.
Definitely.
And I just work them all together. And when I'm giving somebody a reading, I will definitely say, like, I'm feeling this, I'm seeing this, I hear this, so that they know how I'm getting the information.
Exactly, yeah. Because it's not like you can choose to have any of this. You're more like the transmitter, and you're receiving messages, and you're able to...
I'm literally the medium.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so cool.
So I literally just... I open up, and I trust, and I just put it out there.
Mm-hmm. And how has being in this area been for your business? Have people been able to find you and been able to get clarity or what they need from these readings?
Yes. People, what I have noticed is a lot of people aren't aware that this is an option for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people have misconceptions about what an intuitive is, and they have religious beliefs tied up in it, and family beliefs, and all of that tied up in it. But once people seek a really good intuitive out, they will have, you know, oftentimes changes in deep perspectives, because I take my work seriously, because I can literally, you know, I have to be aware that I have the ability to change somebody's perception of the universe, and that is a responsibility that you don't take lightly. And you have to really honor the work that you're doing, and people have been very open to it. Even in Central Texas, I've been amazed at the response of the different styles of clients that will come to me from all different socioeconomic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so people find me, internet, Facebook.
The paper.
The paper.
That's how I got the idea.
Wonderful Hayes.
I was like, wait, what? This is amazing. Someone is actually advertising for this.
I was really cool. I was guided to you guys by spirit. I kept saying, okay, where else? I need to advertise somewhere else than what I'm doing.
You said so, spirit guided you to the Hayes Free Press?
And I said, okay, spirit, show me where I'm supposed to be going. So just through like doing some Google searches during a couple different days, it just kept coming up with you guys. And so I started just clicking around, and I thought, all right, this feels good. And so then I called Tracy, and I said, oh,
Tracy's
okay,
amazing.
Well, she must be cool because her name's Tracy. She's got to be.
She is very cool.
And I spoke with her and told her what I did directly. I said, is this something that your publication would be okay with? She said, of course. And I said, all right, let's do this.
That's
and
so cool.
The way that you know you're on track is because things just go, they just flow. A synchronicity kicks in, and you just trust it. And then all of a sudden today, now I get a phone call from you. So people have a way of of finding me. I believe just like spirit guides me to things that I'm supposed to advertise in, I believe spirit guides people to find me either through word of mouth or another form of advertising.
Yeah, yeah. And how did you get started in this? Because this isn't something that, you know, every little girl or boy wakes up one morning and goes, I'm going to do this. And,
right.
You know, so what kind of was your path getting here? Like, what did you do before this?
Well, I was in the medical field for a long time before this.
Okay.
And then I had always, you know, had a, you know, an inkling of some of these abilities, but I never...
Kind of from childhood, probably?
Yeah, from childhood on. I mean, I definitely had experiences, but I was never able to investigate them or cultivate them just because of the way that I grew up in the environment. It was not going to happen at that point. And that was okay. And then I got to my early 30s, and it was, you know, time to take a look at what did I really want in my life? What was working and what wasn't working?
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to do a lot of self-help work on myself and really start to see that, you know, I was my main problem. And as soon as I started doing that style of work and really getting down to business, it was boom. It just, I opened up and it was like, okay, now we need you to focus in on developing these skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here I am.
Yeah.
So that's what I sought out to do.
So how long have you been doing this now?
I've been doing this professionally since 2013-ish, the end of 2013-ish. Okay. I like to say I came out of the closet.
Yeah. Well, and I'm pagan, and so yeah, like I discovered it when I was still in high school, still middle school, but like didn't tell my parents until like high school, like kind of, you know, probably like 18, 19 years old, but we call it coming out of the broom closet because it's almost like telling someone you're gay or something like that, because it's a pretty big shock for some people. So yeah, like it's coming out, but since 2013, since you decided to cultivate this professionally, have you seen, you know, a more uptick in business or at least perception of your field? Because there are a lot of people in this field, and some are really, really great, and there are some that have been proven otherwise, and there's lots of skeptics out there. But I think, at least personally, that people know when they meet a genuine person, and they know when they meet someone who's not genuine. And I think, you know, individuals will sort out for themselves who is the real deal and who isn't. So I would never, you know, write anything like, oh, this person is fake or whatever, because that may not be the case.
That may not be the case.
So, you know, but have you seen that there's just a lot more people that are willing to think outside the traditional box?
Yes. I feel like I have a lot of clientele that you would never suspect that they call an intuitive on a regular basis. For it's either going to be one or two things people call me for: the finances or the romances, the money or the money. What is going on? Or
really?
Both.
Well, and I noticed too that you had a lot on your website about healing, about how it's such a personal process that are willing to work with someone on. Is this something that people can, you know, have a weekly meeting with you, or, you know, a daily little text or a phone call if they feel like they need
it? I set up with clients. I do have individual packages that I don't really advertise, because when a client does call me and they need to do some deeper healing work, some more I do shamanic style work into my practice as well. So if they need to deep dive into their issues, I come up with certain packages and price points that are accommodating to them and their economic needs. I'm not going to quote, you know, a millionaire one, you know, I'm very honest to what people can meet me at. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I really am into this industry because, one, I've seen changes in people that they have let go of decades of grief mm-hmm. and guilt and shame in seconds. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and to see incredible. Somebody have their life back, or somebody see themselves as the loving, divine soul that they are, and really going out there to live a life, you can't put, you know, there's no price tag onto that. Mm-hmm. And the healing is so personal, you know, everybody's issues are always different, but I'm always honored to be a part of that, because never in a million years, you know, second and third grade would I have thought, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I knew from an early age I wanted to help people heal.
Nice. And you were in the medical field first, so yeah, obviously you were in the right direction.
And I was always okay with taboo topics and,
yeah.
you know, the occult and mystic things. I was very curious about it. But when I get to work one-on-one with a client, you know, the main thing is service out of love and compassion for humankind, because it's hard here. It's not easy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're able to have that self-confidence and the tools in life and knowing that you're not alone, and the number one thing that I really try to help clients with is getting them connected to, you know, a God of their understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, whatever you call it, whatever it looks like, a connection with that, a trust in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to carry you further than, you know, any other, you know, healing modality or massage or, you know, a weekend at the spa is going to give you.
Yeah.
But it's very sacred work that I do, and I take it very seriously. And I love it. I have fun, but I also know what my responsibilities are. So,
exactly.
Yes, I do a lot of healing work for those.
And so a lot of the things that we've been talking about, and you said, like, you do a shamanistic approach to, like, major healing that needs to occur. Do you think that someday maybe this kind of work could be included in, like, a medical insurance kind of situation where they're talking about therapy, people needing, you know, emotional, mental therapy? This could be one of those things. Like, I know music therapy is kind of on the fringes there about being totally accepted
yes.
by the medical community, but I've seen a lot of research that shows that it really works, so there's a lot of push and legislation trying to get these things covered among health insurances. Do you think someday maybe this could be covered?
You know, I really believe in the statement, all things are possible. And I keep, you know, my light on for that. And I really do believe that in the future, Reiki and aromatherapy and sound therapy, and even seeing a shaman could be covered by some insurances in a great utopia. Because what these modalities give you is they give you a way to go inside and do that inner work about what is really ailing you. What are you afraid of? What are you, you know, what have emotions have you not been able to express or process? And those modalities really give you that help. And whereas modern medicine is on the fringe of it, but
it's harder to quantify things like in numbers and in actual values when you're talking about the metaphysical or different.
Yeah.
aspects like that. So I completely understand what you're trying to say as far as, like, until it can be quantified almost in at least, like, the number of people it helps,
yes,
then it probably won't be recognized until that happens.
Yeah, and I even have physicians as clients that
I believe it.
Love to know, like, how else can I help this guy, or how can I understand my patients better, or what can I do energetically in my office to raise the vibration, because I have a lot of people coming in here that are in pain, they're fearful, they're sad, And it's amazing, and I believe that one day Western medicine and, you know, alternative methods from all over the world can walk hand in hand to really be able to help people.
Yeah.
Because we can't stop pain from happening in this world, but we can give enough resources to help heal that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a perfect quote. I love that. That's a soundbite right there. So I can't, you know, interview a medium and not ask a question about what your intuitiveness or what you picked up about me. It's one of the things I was told I had to.
Oh, you have to
participate. Well, okay. Not really test, but you know, at least ask about what you picked up on for me, and maybe give that to the readers and like this is real. Like this is what we talked about and everything, and more or less like sit down with the medium. What's it like? And we're having a little coffee, a little chat, and I assume that even in your private life. You get approached by spirit. You get.
I do, in the way that
you bombarded know, by your senses, probably.
No, I really. I look at it this way. I don't really get bombarded by my senses because one thing, especially with the mediumship, or with any of my psychic abilities, just like anybody else, when they're at work, they flipped on their on switch, right? When they're at work, I'm boss. I'm secretary. I'm manager. I'm barista. I'm real estate agent. Mm-hmm. When they go home, boom, they're done. I'm mom, I'm girlfriend, I'm, you know, I'm me. Mm-hmm. And that's the same way with myself, I can say, with my practice. So when I'm Tracy St. Croix, evidential medium, boom, I've got the light on and I'm open. When I'm at the grocery store, I'm shopping.
Okay.
I'm trying. All right.
So you can channel this in a way that you can shut it off, turn it back.
I set limits.
Okay.
So I like to say, you know, with the intuitive work and with being a medium, you set limits and boundaries with the spirit world just like you would anybody else.
Okay.
I like to say just because your phone rings doesn't mean you have to answer
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I like to tell, you know, even if spirits do get my attention out in public, I'm very kind and I say thank you for coming to me, for wanting me to speak to your relative, but get them to come to me. Because I don't know what the dynamic is between you and that person.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the relationship was in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that information. They might not be ready to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say, I'll be happy to do the work, but I need you to get them to come to me.
Okay.
But as far as picking up with you, right away when I got off the phone with you, and after I did my little happy dance and my tears came out of my eyes, I was like, oh my God, because it just was shocking to me to get that phone call. Right away, I felt like you loved this industry that you're in, and you really liked Central Texas, but girl, you're not meant for here for very much longer. And I feel like for you, it's about you. I feel like a lot of international travel with you, a lot of international photography with you, and I don't feel like, I feel like this could be a home base for you, but this is not somewhere where you will be here forever. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Information?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, this is coming up for you, and between now and the end of this year, I feel like this, not placid motion, but very calm, very nice, but underneath the surface, you're sinking and you're grinding about what 2018 is going to be all about for you.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like you're going to be in the Austin area a whole lot. I feel like you're going to be traveling, and I really feel like there's photography, obviously. You have a camera, you're a reporter. That's not psychic information, that's duh. That this is going to go, but for international travel and trips, because I feel like taking pictures of children is very important to you and displaying children in nature. That is part of how you like to send good vibrations out into this world. And so I have to ask, I see like you have like a blog, like a website blog. Do you?
I've started one recently.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't worked on it a whole lot because I have two jobs, so it's like
no,
hard,
I get it.
But
I'm just saying that is going to go into your work. because you need another creative outlet for yourself.
Yeah.
You need one where you, and you know, your jobs are great, but you need one where you receive heartfelt feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so your job is, you're a healer, but it's through like visualization, through media, through mm-hmm. photos, through words.
That's honestly what I've been gravitating towards, and it's crazy that you were like, yeah, I don't think that you're like in this area very much longer, because that's literally what it's been.
Because I feel like this connection, and I really want to take myself to France with you.
I love Italy and Europe and all of that. On my next trip, I want to go to Cannes, France.
Okay, now I don't know. I love Paris. Paris is one of my like deepest soul places. But is Cannes on the I guess the west side of the coast? Because that's where I get pulled to the most with you.
I think so. I think because here's where Italy is. Go this way. Here's Cannes. Paris is over here. So Cannes is to the west of Paris. Okay. Yeah.
So I feel like this is just kind of like a preparation period for you. Have you ever heard the term, sometimes you got to get ready to get ready to get ready?
Yeah.
That's what you're in right now.
Yeah.
And so I definitely, you know, I feel all good vibrations because my guides went, you know, told me to say yes to you.
That's awesome.
If I was like,
yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like I was nervous when I was first like asked about this, but I knew that I was like, I want to just talk to her and see, you know, because I'm fairly intuitive myself, so it's like I knew I could tell like if you were, you know, BSing me over the phone. And it just, like, clicked. So I was like, yeah, this is really good. This is really good. I like this.
It really is. Come to one of my demos.
When is your demo and how much is it?
Okay, girl. All I need you to do, this is what I tell people. All you have to do is remember the word, the letter S.
S.
Second Saturday at 7.
Second Saturday at 7.
At the Center for Spiritual Living.
Where is the Center for Spiritual Living?
It is... right at Nanshack and 290 in Austin. So it's not far from here at all. You can find the address on my website and everything like that. Lots of parking, very easy to find.
More or less like a room with a lot of people in it, and you're there like doing kind of a group medium effort?
I do with a mediumship demo is like an audience gathers there. I never know who's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just show up and let spirit show up. An audience gathers and I stand up before them, and then I just start channeling through loved ones who come through, and I start describing them and how they might have acted in this life and what they might have felt like and maybe about their passing, and maybe sometimes I'll get, you know, who they're looking for, names associated around them, and then I just open it up to the audience and I say, you know, who does this gentleman or lady or child belong to? Mm-hmm. And usually I'm pretty tuned in, so I can usually kind of go like over here and tune in from there. And then as soon as we get validation that this is the person, then I go forth and give a message, because what I feel really strongly with you is I can't help but feel I have a grandmotherly figure like literally sitting next to me right now. And
could be my granny.
It could be your granny. Now let me go ahead and see what other information that she wants to talk about, because she appears to me to be more of a, she's very interested in life and what's going on in life. Like she had a very curious personality, and she's like almost sitting right here next to me, just like staring at you very proudly. Like now she does appear to me to have that same type of reddish hair that you have. She's got fiery hair. Now on her, she tells me that she's been passed on for a long time. Like if she gives me the number, at least 10 years. Yes. I feel like she has really been gone. And when I ask her about her passing, she kind of points to multiple areas of her body. She points to her chest, and she points to that there was an issue, a long-term issue going on, like, I feel like in her stomach or in her
gut.
Like, I feel like I don't want to eat any food with her.
Yeah.
And so I feel very deeply with this woman, too, that one of the, you know, one of her attributes about herself was she had a great sense of humor, is what I feel. And I also feel like she knew how to really say very poignant statements and get her point across very easily and very clear. And she would also, she also had this, like, compassion about herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knew exactly what to say and when to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, it's amazing to me. Now, she does tell me, she says the word brother. Do you have a brother?
I do.
You do have a brother. She also says the word younger. Associated with this. Is he a younger brother?
Yes.
Okay,
he's
now,
12 years younger than
he's me. He's 12 years younger than you. Now, she indicates to me that she wants to really let the family know that she is kind of watchful over this brother. Like, I feel like she is really one of these guiding spirits that tries to guide him out of trouble a bit. Because I feel like, I don't feel like he's in drugs or alcohol, but she definitely gives me that feeling that he might be kind of stepping off the path a bit,
mm-hmm.
here and there, and getting into little skirmishes and things of that such. Do you understand this information?
Yeah, because he's at A&M in the Corps of Cadets, kind of away from family for the first time. So he's in that structure, but we know based on, like, a lot of the people he hangs out with and some of the, he can have a wild side, so
he,
it's like.
Yeah, he needs to be, yeah, Grandma, and Grandma wants you to know that she is definitely keeping him more in check.
Really good to know.
And check.
I thought it would definitely be our sister. We lost our sister in September of last year.
Don't tell me. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. I adore this, but I'm going to tell you, don't tell me anything more about her. Because if I do bring her through in the future, I don't want that information rattling around in my
head.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes total sense. I'm just trying to think about, like, I definitely want to go to one of these things, just me personally.
And they're only $15.
And I kind of want to go first myself, and then I totally want to take my mom, because my mom is, I feel like she needs the healing from it.
She, you know, if your mom wants to check me out, I tell a lot of people who, and grandma's just like, start tapping her foot, what about me? So let's just, I'm just going to say goodbye to Granny, and I'm going to let her know, she really is just, obviously, they all love us, they all, you know, take care of us, but she directs me like I'm sitting in a vehicle with you, and I've got something hanging from my rearview mirror, some kind of, like, crystal or something, and she's like, I keep playing with it with a cat.
Oh my god, yes,
oh
so, my god.
Just know that she pops in your car, and she says she likes the music that you listen to.
Oh!
Because it feels like, I want to, like, dance with, like, almost big band style music.
Yeah,
with you.
That's what I've
that
been into.
She,
oh my god.
Wants you to know she's been with you, darling.
Oh, that's so cool. Wow, girl, you just, like, changed my whole life today. You have no idea.
Well, here, I usually
it's
have
It's amazing.
Tissues,
okay? Oh, I have them in my car. I
here, let me get
one.
Woo, be careful!
Now I know, right? I'm like, these are gorgeous light fixtures, but we're a little tall.
Oh, do I?
I said, these are gorgeous light fixtures, but we're so tall.
Yeah.
So tall.
It's like,
yeah. Every time I get out of here.
Oh, I know. It's okay. It's part of being, you know, being a guy. You just run into lots of things.
Oh, yeah. I am so happy.
Grab your coffee.
Oh, grab your coffee. Okay.
Because you're a medium who loves coffee, too. Which
I
is
do.
Totally good, because I... I'm all about coffee.
Yes.
So, this
so,
is pretty,
yes. So
this
just
is
know
pretty
that your
amazing.
Grandma's definitely here. And here's the thing is sometimes, you know, I don't know why people come through. Some come through and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the phone.
Exactly.
So I bring the spirit world, and I can make a request, but sometimes you're supposed to hear from the message from somebody else.
Yeah, I fully understand that. Believe that.
And I did want to let the readers know, too, a little bit about my training as a medium, in that mediumship is something you have to develop along with your psychic skills. You can have it, but it's just like any other skill in life. You need to
hone it. Yeah.
You need to put a structure behind it. You need to understand the information and how to deliver it compassionately and honestly, because you don't know what condition that person is in front of you, how frail they could be. And I get my training through the SNU, which is the Spiritualist National Union.
Okay.
They're very...
This is a good question I needed to ask.
It's on my website. So okay. They're a very large spiritualist organization.
Okay.
And they're very big in, like, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, the northeast of this country. I mean, you can throw a rock and hit 20 mediums and 15 spiritualist churches.
Wow.
In the Northeast.
Amazing.
And so I get my training and development through their methods. They've been doing this since the mid-1800s for the spiritualists, and they've been training mediums for a very, very, very long time. Now, I go and I attend classes. There's a spiritualist church in New Jersey that I attend to called The Journey Within. And my joke is, for naysayers that say, you know, something negative about what I do, I say, well, can you call the nun who trained me? Because I got trained by a nun.
Yeah. See, and this was something, too, that I wanted to ask you. On your website, you do mention God and your belief in God and the power that, or, you know, the gifts that you have, you think come from Him. And I think that's something that would be very important to include in an article, that there are many different, you know, backgrounds for mediums. Like, you could be from any religion and have a gift like this. So it's helpful for at least clients, so potential clients that might be reserved because they don't understand it, or they don't know, oh, is this person not Christian? I'm afraid of something like that. So it's a safety, almost, for some people.
It is safety. And, you know, I really come from the perspective of, you know, I call it God, Spirit, Divine Source. But it really is just, you know, that love in the universe. Because we live in a loving universe. One of my favorite sayings is, dang, there goes the universe conspiring in my favor again.
That is a great catchphrase.
It's like, and I always say, like, I don't care if you're Buddhist or you're spiritualist or you're Catholic or, you know, you're Hindu or you're Taoism. It's all the same thing, because it's all based in love. And when you look at all of the religious texts, the message is the same. It's about believing in a source greater than yourself that wants nothing but love for you and good for you, and to spread that among humanity and help our brothers and our sisters here. And I really adhere to that. I mean, I'm a believer. You know, that's what I believe in. And with spiritualism, you know, we go under, like, Catholicism has their Ten Commandments, and that's fine. And spiritualism has our principles, seven principles that we live our life by, which is very, you know, they mesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of commonalities into there. But I go to the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences.
Nice.
So it's Hogwarts.
And where is that located?
It's north of London.
Wow.
So it's Hogwarts for mediums.
So,
oh, I'll show you pictures. It's literally like we stay in a castle.
If you can send me some pictures, that'd be great for the article.
Oh, yeah. I can send you so many pictures. So
that'd be so amazing.
It is
so
this
is something that has a lot of people, a lot of respect in the community backing you up as far
yes.
as like, you know, if I'm a therapist, I got a degree as a therapist kind of thing. If I'm a reporter, I do have my degree in journalism, mass comms.
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of proves to people you know what you're doing. So you do have that background.
Yes.
That says, look, I'm qualified.
I'm very qualified to do this. And, you know, the thing is, you know, just like being a reporter or with anything, we always still get continuing education. Because if you're not growing, you're going.
Always learning something new.
Always learning. And you go, Arthur Finley is great. It's like you live there for a week and you have your dorm style room and you have your roommate and you're in class 12 hours a day. So it's spiritual boot camp. Like,
yeah.
It's not playtime there.
Like, no, it's.
It is and it isn't.
There you go.
I mean, they're there. You know, you have your three meals a day. And at night, you know, they have a little bar and disco that you can go down to and let off, you know, let off that energy. And it's on just a stunning property with gorgeous gardens and pathways to walk and a horse pasture.
I'd love to take pictures of that.
And last time, or this summer, I was just there in June for a class. And they rented their pastures out to a sheep farmer. And of course, it's hot here, right? I'm like, yay, I'm going to go to London and it's going to be cooler, right? Wrong. It was a heat wave over there.
Oh, great.
It was a heat wave. Brick building. Brick building. No AC.
Oh, no.
No AC. And so it's in, like, you know, it's in the 80s, which is fine for us.
Yeah, but there it's like.
But there it's different. And then you have no AC. We had to order extra fans on Amazon Prime and have them delivered.
Oh my gosh.
Because the school didn't have enough fans for everybody's room.
Oh gosh.
And we would wake up in the morning and we would hear the sheep going bah, bah, bah. It was just, it was so funny. We would just laugh and laugh and laugh at these sheep in the middle of the day.
Oh my gosh. That
and
sounds
so
amazing.
It was amazing. It's in a beautiful village. And it is like, it's like a fairy tale.
Seriously, really, how often do you do these things? How often do you
Well,
go
I go over to Arthur Finley. I try to go over there at least every year, year and a half.
Nice.
But I do continuing training online every week.
Okay.
Because there's online training. And then there is training. There's a couple different places in the country that the tutors from SMU will go to. And so one of them is the Journey Within Spiritualist Church in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is going to be a really big event in Denver with Tony Stockwell, who's a very, very well-known medium.
Okay.
Google him.
Tony Stockwell?
Tony Stockwell.
Okay.
And I train under him, and Lynn Kroger, and Janet Napavik, and John Holland. These are all really great spiritualist mediums who have been doing this for decades and decades, and that's, you know, what the goal as me, what I strive to my work to constantly be at that level or above. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so you know, you fly, you go to these classes, some, you know, depending, sometimes they're a week long, sometimes they're 3 or 4 days, they're different topics. And so you also get that community because you get to meet other psychics and mediums from all over the world. So you can build your community, and then that way
yeah.
when you stumble or you get stuck on something, you know, message somebody and go, okay, I know our world is weird, but guess what I saw today?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And so it just gives you that community, that tribe effect.
Yeah, definitely. I could see how that could be very helpful, especially in a field that is kind of rare in a lot of places.
It is rare.
Nice.
And we go, you know, like a lot of us will travel back and forth to each other's towns to do like demos and readings at. So we'll do like double mediumship demos and teaching classes together with each other. And
I just lift myself off.
I mean, honestly,
the front part.
Sometimes I have to pinch myself because I really love my life. Whereas, you know, just a handful of years ago, I was confused and frustrated and didn't really know what life was about.
Yeah.
And now I have a lot of freedom and I have a lot of choices and I have, you know, a really great relationship with my God.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else just flows right to me.
There you go. Well, it sounds like this is something that is really from the heart. Like, yeah. You want to help people,
yes.
And that's why you do what you do.
I do what I do because, you know, my mother committed suicide when I was 10.
Oh, wow.
And I would really have, tough. I would have cut off my own arm and leg to be able to speak with her. And so for me to be able to give that gift to somebody else is just amazing.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, as a child, I was just distraught.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the heroine's journey.
There you go. Yeah. The heroine's journey. I really like that.
Yeah.
I really, really like that, honestly. It's just like, sorry, I'm turning back on my reporter thing.
No, it's okay.
I'm going, that's such a beautiful angle for this article, is because it really, like, I wasn't always great at writing feature stories. When I first started at the newspaper, I, you know, my editor goes, before he was even my editor, he was just the editor. He goes, so what kind of stories do you write? And I was like, well, I'm really good at hard news stories. I'm really good at political stuff. Like, you've got a body, I can handle this.
Right.
But they already had a feature writer, and so she did most of the features. But when she left, I was left to do them. And I had done one or two, but I was not as familiar with the two, blending the two writing styles. Because
right.
One, you have a little more freedom, and it's about person. And then the other is more about the broader view of it and the actual facts. So blending the two was a little difficult for me. I feel like I'm getting better, but I've learned that it's best when I'm working on a feature piece to just go with the flow. So talking and conversation and just easy going about it, and I will stumble upon the angle. And I feel like we did. We stumbled on it. I'm so happy with this because I want to write this in a way that is as beautiful and compassionate as I know that it is. And I feel like I'm going to be able to do that. This is really good.
Yes, you've already chosen to do it. Your words, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your expectations create your reality.
I firmly believe that. It's
yes.
So awesome.
So
very positive about
this. We
will
set the intention that, you know, that the future piece that you write will be created with a sense of faith and hope and love for those who are seeking more out of this life, and that it will glow and jump off the page, and the words that somebody needs to hear will just come right into their field of vision, and that this article will help others to heal from wounds that they've been suffering from for too long now.
Definitely.
And all done with ease, grace, fun, and joy. So it is.
So one thing that I just got, a little light bulb came on. I want you to pose for a picture for me. So
okay.
I want you to sit exactly where you're sitting, but I want you to have your little heart out.
Oh, remind me to show you a photo about how that's, anyway.
I will. Make a little heart with your hands like this.
Where do you want
right,
me to put the heart
like
at?
Like, right here, like right next to you. And kind of like push it out to me. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. I love that. Love that shot. And we'll probably go outside and do one standing so I can give my editor a couple choices, but he likes those shots a lot.
I want to show you something that, when you said that part, because I've been thinking, show me that.
Don't we just love our phones? Mine seems to know exactly when I need it to work, and then it decides that it's not going to.
Exactly. It's like, oh, what do you mean? No.
Or like I have marshmallow thumbs and I can't click on anything that I want.
You know, I love the voice text.
I'm all about the voice text.
I am huge on the voice text. So just to give you a little bit of idea, that's the front entrance of
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so my room was just to the left. Let's see. So that's kind of on just...
That's so beautiful.
Like, that's home for... That was not the photo I wanted to show you either. I wanted to show you this photo in Paris, and it is a wall. And on this wall, where was I? And I'll just show it to you because it's too good to describe where we at. I'm looking for Paris. Show me Paris.
Oh, I do that too because I have so many, and it goes from like country to country. Like I have to go through various countries to like get where I want to go. I'm like, wait, I want to show you Mykonos. Where
exactly?
Is Mykonos?
Have you been to Paris?
I have not been to Paris. No, I've been to Italy. And Malta and Greece, and those are the only, and then of course Kerry, Ireland, but that's about it.
So let me see.
And the only time I've ever been to Northern Ireland legitimately was in the airport, and that's it.
That didn't count.
Didn't really count.
So that's a wall in Paris, and it says, I love you. In every single language.
Oh,
and so I have that
so
for my cover photo on my Facebook page.
Oh, and look at the little heart, too. That's cool. Yeah, you should totally send me that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was in Paris. And Paris is just, it's just stunning. The museums, the artwork, the food,
and I think, like... It's so crazy how there are some cities overseas that you just, as soon as you step into, honestly, like, it's just this feeling of intense connection. Like, you feel, you feel like this is where you were meant to be right then.
And it's kind of like what I kind of call it is you, I mean, depending on where your belief system comes from, but it's like you reconnect with a place that you lived before. That your soul is
when I was
before.
In the Colosseum in Rome, it was like the most intense experience of my life. I can't even tell you like how I must have asked our tour guide like 1,000,008 questions, and he answered all of them, and it was like I could almost be in that time just walking there like for a moment, and it was so cool.
You just simply ask yourself like simple questions like, have I lived here before? And just see what that... Was I a man? Was I a woman? Was I a child?
Yeah. So crazy.
Did I fight here? Did I come here for entertainment? Am I supposed to learn something here? Am I supposed to help somebody here? And so I kind of call it... It's in the shamanic work where you call it... It's like a hands-on soul retrieval, where you grab up other parts of you and go, okay, I know you're here. If you want to come, come on home.
That's so
it's
so
just
cool.
A piece of your soul.
Yeah.
And so I've had the same experiences in London, in Scotland, in Paris.
Wow.
Where I'm just like...
You're like, this is either really big deja vu or I swear I've been here before.
Like, no, because I was getting visions and I was like...
Wow.
And I knew exactly where I was going.
Wow, that
is
intense.
I was like, no, we gotta go that way, this way, up here.
Yeah.
Over here. So, that's how you know, like, it's more than just, I don't even really believe in coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a point of, because I believe that we're, you know, I believe that we have a soul that's inside of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And that soul is always connected with God, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we're always connected to what the divine truth is about ourselves. So, no matter where we go, we have that intuitive beacon. Boom. Boom. Pulsing out.
Is that something that, going back to the article again, is that something that you try and get your clients to at least understand or walk away with? It's that sometimes their own intuition might be something that they're repressing or that they're not paying attention to?
A lot of times I meet clients where they're at, and I tell clients, like, I can't take you any further than what you're going to allow me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I feel like, they're ready to open up their gifts, I will offer them, you know, help with those services, because I do do classes as mm-hmm. well. And I will let them know, like, I really don't feel like this is, you know, another person's issue. I don't feel like this person is completely driving you crazy. They are, but I feel like you are clairsentient, and you're also picking up on their paranoia, which amps up your anxiety. And then I talk to them about that. And so sometimes they are unaware that they do have gifts and abilities, and sometimes people just aren't ready to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of want,
mm-hmm.
fix this.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's like, you can't, like, you've got to identify an issue in order to fix an issue, and if you're in denial about that, then there's no way to get there. Right.
You're the one kinking the hose.
Yeah, definitely.
You gotta let go.
Yeah.
So, it's just like any other profession. Like, I have many tools that I can use to help many different people. And so it's just about, you know, who comes in front of me, what their needs are, and what spirit guides me.
So it's very individualized, because this is not, like, you don't have a handbook, a step-by-step manual. You have tools that you use based on what the needs are.
Correct.
Awesome. See, and this is what I think everyone wants to know when they think about a medium, or they see or read something about a medium was here or there. They need to know in the methods of, like, you know, research and analysis, and they know, like, they need to put something a little more quantifiable on it than just feelings and thoughts. And the fact that you have all of these tools that you can draw on, that you have the qualifications, the background necessary, all of these things, I think people don't pay attention to enough, and they need to. And they need to at least be aware that this is something that's not just, you didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I want to do this. Like, It was a lot. There's a lot that goes into it.
There's a lot. I mean, it's just like any other training profession. I mean, would you go to a doctor who said, you know, oh, well, I just kind of read some books and, you know, I've got
Mm-mm.
this.
Mm-mm.
Or
no.
Would you go to the doctor who went to school and got some training and, you know, studied under people who knew a whole lot more?
Yeah, I would definitely
to figure out what, you know, because you have to, information can come in and you can get very mixed up mm-hmm. about, is that my feelings? Is that somebody else's feelings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get very confused very easily. And the thing is, with this type of profession, you have to be a very solid, grounded person yourself. You have to know what is your feelings, what are your, you know, filters in this world to help somebody else with theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, you know, if you, this is what I tell my clients, to be able to pick a good intuitive or medium that you want to even see or work with, the guidelines to me are, look at their training and background on that, and really, if you don't connect with them, they're probably not the one for you. And if you wouldn't bring them, like, around your friends or your family, you need to seek somebody else out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to seek somebody else who really wants to, who can really help you go past wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, I know some really piss poor lawyers and doctors. Psychics, mechanics, baristas,
mm-hmm.
and everything else. But I also know some really great ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about, like you said earlier, using that intuition about, is this person the right one for me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spirit will guide you to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the most important things that I see about in this field is that, As a psychic medium, my responsibility to my clients is I have to continually not only educate myself on growing with my mediumship, but I have to continually keep healthy spiritually, mentally, psychologically myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not, how can I help you?
Exactly, yeah.
It's the whole mask theory. Like, mm-hmm. you gotta put your mask on yourself first before you can start to really help people, and you gotta keep healthy and aware. Definitely. And if you're in a situation where you're going through some stress in your life, like, you know, just because I'm a psychic and I'm a medium, that doesn't protect me from life. And if you got to step away from the work for a little bit to take care of yourself, then that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your...
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
Personal responsibility, I'm big on.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some poor examples in the beginning. I had a really great example, and then, of course, some poor ones about everything. So it's been like, you know, always a struggle to, like, follow the right one and, mm-hmm. and look at that. But it's so different when you've identified it and you're able to go, okay, then this is the right, you know, this is what I want to work towards. But
yes.
you have to deal with people that are on that other side of the spectrum still, and, you know, kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to do this, but at the same time, like, they've got to want to
yeah.
do something about it, not you. So
And that's what I tell my clients, is you have to have a willingness. Because if you don't have a willingness, you're throwing money down the tubes.
Yeah.
Your money, your time, your energy. And so, with anything I tell you,
mm-hmm.
you want to change, you know, your marriage, your relationship, you have an addiction, whatever's going on. And so you have a willingness to change yourself.
So potentially... anybody that's going through anything that they feel like they need assistance with, they feel like other traditional methods or ways of, like, let's say someone wants to stop smoking and they feel like there's just something blocking them.
Right.
No matter what. They would be a potential client.
We could do some what I call remapping on them.
What's remapping?
Remapping is where I will take an issue like that, and we'll talk about why did they start smoking and where was that attached to. And then what we'll do is I will get them really calm. I'll take them through some breathing exercises so they can get really calm. And then what I do is I ask them to be shown in their own mind a landscape of what this problem represents. And I walk them through it. And we see the symbology that's in there. And we talk about what did you see and how did you feel? And does this match with what you want? Because what it is our conscious is like the desktop. Our desktop, all right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a folder on there that says, I want to quit smoking,
mm-hmm.
right? And we click on that folder. We want that program to run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. When the hard drive, there's a whole different program running behind that
mm-hmm.
that says, I gotta smoke because I gotta stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get down with the images that were shown through the subconscious. We're gonna see what the real programming is. Because all of our beliefs, all of our values are in our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And our subconscious isn't smart like our conscious mind is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's how we can imagine things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't know the difference between truth and not truth.
Mm-hmm.
So we see what the program is. We get down to root causes and conditions of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you take something away, you got to put something back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to put what you choose to experience in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the person then to keep making that choice, that new choice.
Yeah,
to honor,
like, to
that
recircuit
new,
programming.
Right.
Bring it back to
the
right circuit, not the wrong circuit.
Right. Feed that,
like,
pathway. Feed that vision.
Different type of explanation than I think anyone has ever heard of before, and I think that that's perfect because people understand something like this. You know, they understand it. So when you apply that, like, the whole issue that you were just talking about in the way that you described it, I think more people understand a little bit more about it than if you weren't to put it that way.
Right.
And it's almost because it's a safe area. Like, people understand coding and circuitry and computers and IT and stuff, and to explain something that's not as tangible.
Right.
In that tangible way, it helps someone grasp it a little more.
It's basically about figuring out your own coding.
Mm-hmm.
And your own symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's really easy to input into your subconscious what you choose to experience. Because everybody can imagine something.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can feel that. And so I help people change their perspective, change habits, change about attracting, you know, why do I keep attracting, you know, these jerks
mm-hmm.
in my life? Or why do I always, you know, why do I have everything going on in my life, but my career is always in the tank?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with that? And it's usually some kind of subconscious programming that we have that's running that's we're not really consciously aware of.
Yeah, that's so cool.
So it's like our subconscious is like our autopilot. It just does.
Yeah. To me, it seems like this is something that you can use, that you have a rare ability to utilize this to help people in their therapeutic situations,
right.
Like constantly.
I do, and I want to make it clear that like I'm not unique in my abilities. I mean, everybody has their own abilities. I just sought it out and educated myself. Now, I do have people that come in front of me that their issues are way beyond what they need for me. And I office out of a place where there's two therapists, psychiatric therapists that are there that I
okay.
say, you know, I really feel like this is a combo address thing. There are some, you know, intuitive things that I can help you out with, but I really feel you need some trauma therapy or you need some a different style of psychological help added on to this. Because I don't want to condone that seeing intuitives.
Is the same.
Because it's okay. not.
Yeah.
It's not.
But you can help, like, open the door. Like, if they need more help, then you can
usually,
them
yeah. Usually,
resources.
After people, sometimes if I get an inkling that they're going to need, they need more than what I can provide for them,
mm-hmm.
I usually, since they've come to my office a few times, I will say, hey, and they've usually seen them walking
mm-hmm.
in or out, the other mm-hmm. therapist, I'll say, you know, why don't you try to make an appointment with Karen or Gary
mm-hmm.
and just go talk to them
mm-hmm.
and see. And it usually, you know, we have a joke in the office because I'm the psychic medium. We have an acupuncturist, and then we have two therapists that are also shamans.
Nice. Wow.
So it's like a lot of interchanging clients.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd be like, this is my one-stop shop, guys.
Yes. And it's like, you know, they send me, like, not only just them, but other therapists will send me clients that say they have a grief issue that I'm just not able to get past.
Mm-hmm.
Can you work with them?
Nice.
To see if maybe you can bring through who they need to make some resolution with, or is there something else? And I'm more than happy to do that, and I send a lot of clients to other therapists, too, because I'm like...
Yeah, I
this
can...
This is beyond... You know, you don't need a psychic reading, you need trauma therapy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is amazing.
I don't want to give that impression that...
I see this as, like, something that could be, you know, the first step for some people, you
it
know.
Is.
And it could be the right step for some people, because there's... I know myself, I was in therapists from when I was really little, and I was always comfortable in therapy. It was always fine. But then something changed, and it was like, wow, I kind of feel more judged and more, you know, under a microscope than I really want to be. And so for some people that are having issues with, like, the clinical form of something, and they just have something small blocking them, it seems like a psychic medium could help unblock some things, or, you know,
could help reveal, yeah,
paper,
depending
help them
on them,
reveal
yeah.
some things. And, you know, it's nice to think that instead of a stigma, we could have something more positive.
We see with our other five senses as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
hmm?
Commercial. that whole tomato soup commercial, it drives me batty.
I don't even know what it is, and it sounds ridiculous.
It's a advertisement for Tide about having tomato soup spilt on your shirt.
Oh my gosh, I really think advertisers are scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel. It's an opera singer, and it's a guy who sounds like, you know that show Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah.
His brother.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Who it sounds like on there, and I'm like, oh my god, you're ruining
like, who approved this?
Yeah, exactly.
Is not okay.
And so when I hear that, I'm like,
yeah.
Nailed on a chalkboard, but it is. A lot of people do come to me as kind of the first step in mm-hmm. what their healing process is. And that's fine by me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not for everybody for long term.
Either way, it seems like it's a safe place regardless of what someone believes or feels or thinks
yeah,
they're going to be here next week or not.
My intention, whether I'm working with you one-on-one in person or I'm on the phone or Skype, my intention is to help you out to the best of my abilities and to make a safe and sacred space to where you feel it's safe to be transparent and authentic. And trust me, I have heard it all. And if I haven't heard it, I've probably seen or done it myself. Who
mm-hmm.
knows? We weren't all angels, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's go outside
yeah.
and snap a picture
yeah.
because it is a beautiful day.
Ooh, and it's 111 on there. My angel numbers.
Aww.
So angels always show me off.